Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. Today, we're going to check in with the Fargo VA and hear from the Northeast Metro Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Today, we come together to honor a truly storied and revered institution, the United States Marine Corps. On this special day, we celebrate not only the Corps' founding, but also the indomitable spirit and unwavering dedication that define it. Since its establishment, the Marine Corps has exemplified bravery, discipline, and unmatched commitment to our nation. From the battlefields of history to the modern theaters of operations, Marines have always been at the forefront, upholding a proud tradition of excellence and selfless service. To our Marines, both past and present, your valor and sacrifice are the foundation of the Corps' illustrious legacy. Your courage inspires us, your honor guides us, and your dedication makes us proud. As we commemorate this significant anniversary, let us celebrate the Marine Corps' enduring strength and its steadfast commitment to protecting our freedom. Thank you.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me on the phone is Sean Abbas. Sean served in the South Dakota Army National Guard and in the Army Reserves. Sean is a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom and now serves our veterans at the Fargo VA Healthcare System as the Public Affairs Officer. Sean, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and thank you for your service. We appreciate that. And now, of course, you get the opportunity to serve in another capacity, and that is at the Fargo VA Healthcare System. And, you know, our show here, of course, is Minnesota Military Radio. Last time I checked, Fargo's actually in North Dakota. However, you do serve some Minnesota veterans. And so maybe you can kind of just tell us a little bit about the Fargo VA Healthcare System.
Yeah, thanks. So we are a Level 2 facility hospital here in Fargo. And we cover the entire state of North Dakota and 17 counties in Minnesota. So the parent facility is here in Fargo as the hospital center. And then we have 10 clinics, outpatient clinics, scattered throughout the our catchment area. So the Grand Forks, Bismarck, Dickinson, Grafton, Jamestown, Minot, Devil's Lake, and Williston in North Dakota. And then the two clinics that we have in Minnesota are Bemidji and Fergus Falls.
And so, I mean, that's a pretty large area that you support. Any idea how many veterans you actually can touch in that broad area?
Yeah, so we can touch about, we have about 34,000 veterans enrolled into our healthcare system as a whole. Here in the Fargo catchment area, I guess you would call it. And it's quite a large number, and a lot of our patients have to drive quite long distances to get to the next level of care here in Fargo.
And so what makes Fargo kind of stand out, the Fargo VA healthcare system, what makes it kind of stand out from others? What's unique about your healthcare system?
Yeah, so I guess you could say it's the Minnesota or North Dakota NICE. So in that, we're kind of different than the other VA facilities in that it's more rural here in the Fargo area and northwestern Minnesota. So there, all of the folks that work here at the Fargo VA and in our outpatient clinics are extremely nice, and that's one of the biggest compliments that we have from a lot of our veterans is the customer service experience once I get into the facilities here is just phenomenal. And then also what makes us kind of unique is our geographic, you know, placement here in the rural communities in that they have to travel quite far to get to Fargo to the hospital here. So one of the things that we don't really, well, we do advertise it a little bit, but we try to, when they come in, when our vets come in to have to drive into Fargo, we try and stack some appointments on for them. It isn't always possible, but if we know that a vet's coming in, we usually have them you know, let us know, and we try to stack on like two or three different appointments during that same day when they come in. So that's just a level of customer service that I don't think any of the other VAs offer.
Well, I think that the patient or the veteran really appreciates the fact that, you know, they're making one trip what might have been five separate appointments, but now you really do, like you said, try to stack those up into one day and make better use of that time and travel.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And we also try and promote the benefits of using our whole health department. Like, stop in. We have walk-in clinics for acupuncture, and we also offer Reiki services as well as chiropractic. So they can always come in here and, you know, try and add on as much as they can handle in one day.
And you said that you served how many counties in Minnesota?
So it's 17 counties in Minnesota. So it's pretty much the whole northwestern corner.
And then you have a CBOC, and maybe you can tell us what a CBOC is and then talk a little bit about the CBOC in Bemidji and Fergus Falls.
Yeah, so our clinics are our outpatient-based clinics, and basically if you think of the battlefield, you know, it's the lower level or first contact care facility. So it's the offers your primary care services, obviously. And then we also try and come up with a great mix to offer some of our veterans at each one of these different clinics, kind of historically based on different services that our veterans are needing in those areas. And so we have one in Bemidji and one in Fergus Falls. And I'll start with Bemidji. So Bemidji, a lot of vets don't really know, but we currently have an on-site psychologist that is actually works out of our Bemidji clinic there. So, you know, we're getting the word out to the veterans to let them know that we do have a psychologist there in Bemidji. Obviously, a lot of veterans are opting for a virtual experience, but, you know, some of the older veterans like to come in and actually do face-to-face talks. So that's one thing that's available in the Bemidji clinic, as well as physical therapy, and we have clinical pharmacy technicians and some social workers. So we have our HUD-VASH homeless veteran program coordinator up there, as well as we just started last year in both our Fergus Falls and Bemidji clinics is a mobile prosthetic and orthotic care. And basically that's like a mobile van where folks can go out there, and we actually come to the clinics once a month up in Bemidji. I think it's offered on the first and third Wednesday of every month. And then Fergus Falls, we try and get out there on Tuesdays. And basically they offer prosthetic services, which is mobile. And a great thing that happened with us, we had a veteran that lived in northwestern Minnesota. He came in with problems with some foot orthotics. And actually he was missing a few fingers, so we hooked him up with a partial hand. So he kind of walked in there and came out with some additional hardware there for him.
Come in with missing digits and leave with a full hand, huh? That's pretty neat.
There you go. Yeah.
What a great great service. And I know the value of those community-based clinics, just so that you can, again, limit some of that driving time and, go see that primary care, which is what the recommendation is, to make sure you get that annual checkup with your primary care. So that's awesome. And we have just a couple of minutes left here, Sean. And I want to make sure you can, you know, really kind of tell the story more about the Fargo VA and what kind of things are on the horizon for you guys.
Yeah, so a lot of things we have on the horizon. So the big one, now that I can get into the Fergus Falls Clinic a little bit more, is we're actually building another one. And for the vets in that area, it's the old Food Mart location. We're kind of taking over the space there, closer to the interstate. And that's going to offer us a lot of additional capabilities there. So we're looking at trying to get chiropractic and maybe some acupuncture services there. That's all dependent upon if we can find the full-time staff to fill those roles, but that's definitely something that we have in the plans there going into the Fergus Falls Clinic. As well as here in Fargo, we have a two-story, 19,000-square-foot outpatient mental health and wellness and recovery facility. that we're building. So that'll be hopefully here in the next year, year and a half, that'll be finished. And then we're also trying to get a Fisher House here. So the veterans that come in from the further out distances and they have to have an overnight stay, we'll have that option available to them.
Well, that's awesome. When do you think that the new clinic in Fergus Falls will be available?
So we're looking at like April, the end of April, early May of 26 is when it'll be done.
Okay. Well, Sean, we really appreciate the fact that you guys are helping to take care of all of our veterans, of course, in particular Minnesota veterans, so that they don't have to drive down to the St. Cloud or Minneapolis VA healthcare system. And again, just appreciate all you're doing up there and helping to take care of our veterans.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Appreciate it coming on here and getting the word out.
You bet. Thanks, Sean. That's Sean Abbas from the Fargo VA Healthcare System. He's the public affairs officer up there. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. Calling in from the Fargo VA Healthcare System and joining me here right on the phone is Patty Seeley. Patty has over 30 years of experience as a social worker and has been with the VA for over 9 years. Patty's the program manager for the Fargo VA Caregiver Support Program. Patty, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, yeah, thank you. In the last segment, we spoke with Sean Abbas, who's the public affairs officer for the Fargo VA, and we were giving him a hard time about, us having a, Fargo, North Dakota type entity on this Minnesota Military Radio, but you guys are doing great work up there and you're serving our Minnesota veterans. So we like to be able to share that story and, just get that word out there about the great care that the VAs provide for our veterans. So with that in mind, you being the program manager and this caregiver support program, I thought maybe we could just start there. You could give us kind of a rundown about what the mission is and give us a little more information about the VA Caregiver Support Program.
Absolutely. The Caregiver Support Program's mission, we promote the health and well-being of family caregivers who care for our nation's veterans through education, resources, support, and services. And the program really has two different programs within it. The General Caregiver Support Program is the core of the VA Caregiver Support Program, where we provide peer support mentoring, skills training, individual coaching, telephone support, various online programming, and referrals to all kinds of services, whatever the caregivers might need. So that's really great. And to qualify for that program, all that needs to happen is the veteran needs to be enrolled in VA healthcare and have someone that they identify as their caregiver. There's no application process. They just telephone us, or they could call their primary care provider, let them know they want to be involved in the program, and we will get them enrolled. It's very, very easy.
And one of the things you mentioned there, I'm sorry, but one of the things you mentioned there is that peer support mentor program. And we've talked about that on the show here and how important that is. I thought maybe, can you just touch a little bit more about that and explain why that's such a key program to have?
Absolutely. One of the things that happens for caregivers and for many people is that feeling of isolation, right? So they feel like they're alone in what they're doing. They don't have folks to connect to. And the Caregiver Peer Support Mentoring Program, we pair a caregiver who has same lived experiences, who will reach out to the caregiver on a regular basis, and that's generally over the telephone. I think that they can FaceTime with them too, but generally it's over the phone, just to reach out and talk about things that are going on with the caregiver and how they may have been through similar experiences and what's been helpful for them. And caregivers have really enjoyed that and found it to be helpful.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be, especially when you have that, similar or shared experiences. It helps our veterans maybe to open up a little bit more and really get to the root of what might be some of those issues or problems. So you're talking
Absolutely.
About the two separate kind of programs underneath the caregiver support program. You already mentioned the general caregiver before I cut you off, and I'll let you go into the second portion now?
Sure. We have the comprehensive program, which is in that program, the caregivers and veterans can receive all of the benefits that are in the general program, but this program offers enhanced clinical support for eligible veterans. They need to be highly service-connected and needing assistance with activities of daily living, things like that. So it's a very specialized program, and there is an application process because we look at with their serious injury or illness and what kinds of personal care services they need. And so that is an application process. But as I said before, they would qualify for all of the things that they could get in the general program. But in addition to that, they can qualify for enhanced respite care services, which is really helpful. Respite is having somebody come in and give them a break, so they're, you know, the caregiver a break, so they're able to take care of themselves and attend to their own needs. They could qualify for a financial stipend. If they don't have health insurance, they could get that. Mental health counseling, they could get beneficiary travel benefits if it's not, you know, if the veteran's not being reimbursed for that at the same time. But just a lot of individualized support, regular wellness visits by a case manager here. So it's a bit more enhanced for folks who have higher clinical needs.
And when you talk about the caregiver program, are we talking about all levels of caregiver needs? You know, meaning, you know, some people might not be as functional as others, so there's just this big spectrum, or do you kind of key in on specific needs where this program would apply?
Well, we individualize the programs that we provide to caregivers. We do assessment with them to see what they really would benefit from. We have health and well-being coaching, so they can set their own goals and determine what they want to do. Maybe it's focus on health care. Maybe it's a focus on mental health or being connected to other people.
Okay. And when we talk about these programs, you listed off a bunch of the different types of support that you offer. Would this be the same type of similar things that would be at all VAs? This isn't unique just to Fargo, though, right?
That's correct. This is a nationwide program. So if you are living anywhere in the U.S. and you have a VA that you are getting your care from, you know, the veterans are enrolled, caregiver support is there.
And then would you mind, can you just go through that list again? What are some of those caregiver supports that you provide?
We have caregiver support groups, and I want to be sure and mention that we, in response to caregivers wanting more in-person care, we have a monthly face-to-face support group in Fergus Falls. We have a monthly face-to-face support group in Bemidji, and we have a virtual support group that folks can attend monthly as well. All of the programming that we have, with the exception of those face-to-face ones, I mean, truly, they're virtual because it's hard to get to Fargo, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, that was one of the things Sean was talking about is, you know, you got to drive so far to get there.
Absolutely. It makes it so difficult. But, you know, we have caregiver health and well-being coaching, so they can be paired with a coach to help them set their goals, things like that. We have individual coaching for caregivers if they have veterans who have a specific need. Maybe their veteran has dementia. Maybe their veteran has Parkinson's. And so we have a specific program to coach them through that. We have skills training classes. We have, peer support mentoring, but just a lot of well-being opportunities so that folks can join and connect with other caregivers and know that they're not by themselves. We're here to support them.
And National Family Caregiver Month, is it this month?
November.
It is, yeah. So what are you doing to celebrate that?
Well, we've had more groups and classes, educational opportunities than we typically do. I mean, we are halfway through the month now, so even today, one of the classes that we're having is just a wellness class, just, you know, to how to relax and take good care of yourself. We've had a book series, a virtual books club series that we've been providing. We offer Tai Chi Cha on a regular basis in partnership with our whole health program. So that's what we're doing for the rest of the month. I mean, earlier on we had a Taking Care of Yourself class and our other book club, which meets monthly, a virtual book club that meets monthly through the Fargo VA, but it's virtual. I think most of the participants actually are from the Park Rapids area.
Wow, isn't that great? Patty, what could somebody do or where could somebody go if they want to find out more information about the different services that are offered?
Absolutely. Well, they can go to, there's, of course, the website, caregiver.va.gov, and you can locate any VA on that website. You can call the Fargo VA at 701-239-3700, and our extension and caregiver support is 4399.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Patty, we really appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your day to share a little bit more about Fargo VA and the great things you're doing to help take care of our veterans.
Well, thank you for having me. It was great to talk about our program.
Absolutely. That was Patty Seeley. She's the program manager for the Fargo VA Caregiver Support Program. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In a moment, we're going to speak with the chair of the Northeast Metro Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Community Network. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Brad Lindsay.
You can drive home your support for Minnesota military members, veterans, and their families by purchasing a Support Our Troops license plate for your car or motorcycle. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, together with the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs, will use your annual contribution for the betterment of military families as well as for unhoused and underserved veterans statewide. Deployments and military service can put a strain on families, finances, and health. The proceeds from Support Our Troops license plates help in a number of ways, such as providing family, financial, and mental health counseling, offering emergency financial assistance, helping homeless veterans secure shelter and access to benefits, and delivering community seminars on health conditions associated with military service. For more information on these special Support Our Troops license plates, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org and search under Benefits and Resources.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Our next guest is Dorothy Rodermacher. Dorothy is the surviving spouse of a decorated Vietnam War veteran. She serves on the advisory board for the Women in Leadership Certificate Program through the University of North Dakota and is currently the chair of the Northeast Metro Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Community Network. Dorothy, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Doug. I am thrilled to be here and first of all want to say thanks to you and your family for your service and your continued support of the military veteran community in Minnesota.
Well, thank you very much, Dorothy. And it's my pleasure. It's our pleasure. And, you know, this is just something that we love to do. And, you know, taking care of veterans is an important part of our mission. And providing those resources, or at least providing a place to find out about resources and benefits, is extremely important. Dorothy, you've got a lot of stuff going on, and before we get into the first question here, I want to say happy birthday to you. You told me that you're a Veterans Day baby, so happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Doug.
Yeah, so in my intro of you, I mentioned that you're a surviving spouse of a Vietnam War veteran. Your husband, Ron, is a decorated Vietnam War veteran, and I thought maybe we could just start there. Tell us a little bit about Ron and kind of, you know, some of those challenges and those things that you had early on in your career and your marriage and, you know, what led you to get involved into the things you're doing right now.
Well, thank you, Doug. So Ron was a 1964 graduate of Tracy High School in Southwest Minnesota. He grew up as the oldest of four in a very Catholic family and was drafted into the Army and became a door gunner, having never shot a gun, having never been away from home. And to learn that, I think about, oh my gosh, what an experience.
And the experiences that you've learned about with him happened after he got back, because you didn't know him before he left for Vietnam.
That is correct. It was 2 years after he got back that him and I met in the community of Tracy through our jobs. He was a retail meat cutter, and I was a food service manager at the long-term care facility.
I watched the video. We talked about this over lunch today. You've got a YouTube video that kind of tells a little bit of a story about the volunteering that you're doing and a little bit about Ron. And I think the comment you made in that video is all of the family and the other coworkers would say, hey, watch Ron's eyes when Dorothy comes walking in.
Yes, that was the case. It was quite interesting. Mm-hmm. And Ron and I met on the 17th of January. We started dating. We were engaged in May, married in July, and were together for 48 years before he passed.
Wow. Well, when you know, isn't that right?
I think that's it.
Well, thank you for your sacrifices as a military spouse, too. And I know that you met after the Vietnam War, but there were some challenges that came along afterwards. And, you know, that kind of led to you getting involved with the different community type networks that you're involved with and all of this volunteering you do. So how about if we go to that spot right now in the interview and talk about, you know, it's also month of the military family, and this has got a very soft spot for you. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about that and maybe some of the advice that you would have for our military families.
Thank you, Doug. Yes, never give up and don't be afraid to look for an advocate. In my years of working with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, the military members are so humble, and they're taught to be so brave that they are very reluctant to seek help. But it's not just the member that served, it's the family. And it's not just for that time of active duty, career duty. I'm working with people that have spent 34 years in the military and are struggling to adjust to civilian life. As their health, as they age, I didn't know about my husband's war experience until 2 years before he passed, because he harbored all of that. And it was advocating for him that I learned that. And I want to be there for all of the other military and veterans that need an advocate.
Yeah, what a great story. I mean, we talked about the caregiving that you provided to Ron, and then after he passed, you know, you're kind of looking for your next purpose, if you will, and you'd spent all this time and energy trying to take care of him, and now you turn it outwards, and you start getting involved in so many other things. So, you know, we've got just a couple of minutes left in this segment, but I want to make sure you get an opportunity. Let's talk a little bit about what led you to becoming the chair of the Northeast Metro Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network.
So in retirement, Ron and I moved from Lake City to the Twin Cities, and I essentially had a two-week notice and that I was retiring. And so it's, what am I going to do in retirement? I'd been in a very active profession. I'd been in volunteerism since I was 5 years old through the 4-H program. And I just decided that the military veteran community, because of Ron's service, and that was something I could engage together with him, was the direction I was going to take.
Yeah, so you kind of poured into it, and next thing you know, you were very instrumental in the Lionel Lakes proclamation or getting that set up. And
correct.
And it led you to being the chair.
I went to my very first meeting, and they were talking about it, and I was brand new to the community, and I said, I just want to learn about the military veteran sector of this community. And one of the gentlemen said, there's our chair. And from there, it's become what it is today. I currently serve. I cannot leave anybody that has served behind. I will connect them to resources or at least respond to everything, but primarily focus on Anoka, Ramsey, and Washington counties in the Northeast Metro. And the model then is taking that umbrella and going down and providing the support in the individual community and the community partners, because many people are saying, I'm just looking for a referral.
Yeah. Well, that's important. We appreciate you doing that. Dorothy, what we'll do is we'll take a quick break here, and then we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more specific about the things you're doing inside of the Northeast Metro beyond the Yellow Ribbon and what's on the future for us. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In the studio with me is Dorothy Rodermacher. She's the chair of the Northeast Metro Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Community Network. And Dorothy, before we went to break, obviously we were talking a little bit about your move into power, so to speak, as the chair, and your desire to serve. And so I want to spend some time on the Northeast Metro Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network. And maybe you can just talk to us a little bit about, you know, some of those, the plans, the goals. What's in store for the future of this network?
So the biggest thing there is creating awareness out in our communities of who Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is, what we do, and we also want to be that bridge between being eligible for benefits and actually connecting to the benefits that they were promised or the family qualifies for. And along with that, it's understanding the collaboration that happens. It's either the SFRSs, the County Veterans Service Offices that do the vetting to tell me that a need that I receive is eligible for our services. And then from there, it's collaborating with that party, as well as the Minneapolis VA, the Minnesota Department of Health, and all of those colleagues, as well as the businesses that are in that local community to
I think that's
meet the
often
needs.
You know, one of the biggest struggles is there are so many resources available, and it's, you know, really trying to figure out what it is, right? I mean, how do you find out where they all are? And so it's great to have, you know, some singular points of contact. You already mentioned like the CVSO, but you can still make those connections because that opens up another umbrella of benefits and resources to our veterans, our other service members, our dependents of service members. So we appreciate you doing that. And we're going to run out of time, so I want to make sure that we get to this messaging, because you and I talked a little bit about this, and I want to hear from you, and if you could just share with our audience, why is serving the military community to you, why is it so important, and why would you suggest others do the same?
We all know the importance of joy, happiness, quality of life for each of us in our individual lives. And so much a part of that is connection, belonging, and having purpose. And as a caregiver, problem solver at heart, to be able to make a difference for someone else with everything I've learned throughout my life, and make, if it's even a moment, better for them, I am here.
Well, that's great, and we appreciate that. And of course, our listening audience can't see you. I can, and you can see the passion and compassion in your eyes, and I definitely could hear it in the tone of your voice. So we appreciate that. All right, so you've talked about connecting resources, the assistance that you can provide to people in the community. There's somebody listening right now that is either looking for some assistance or some support, or maybe someone else who wants to provide some support to you, whether it's through some type of a donation or volunteering. What would you say to that person? How could they connect with you?
I would say that they can connect on our website, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. So it's btyrnemetro.org. And on our website, we have support, we have volunteering, we have the ability to make donations, we have the ability to submit a request, and that comes into our team, and we call you back. No question, no contact is minor.
Yeah.
We take them all very seriously because we know the value of having that connection, that someone that can help me get or take care of my need to bring joy back into my life.
Well, we'll make sure that that website's on the show notes here, and people will go to that to get more information. Dorothy, thanks so much for spending some time with us here on Minnesota Military Radio. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Doug.
Yeah.
It's been an honor. And again, to all of those military families, I hope you're having a joyful Military Family Month.
Yeah, thank you. That's Dorothy Rodermacher. She's the chair of the Northeast Metro Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Community. Now, joining me from Duluth, Minnesota, is the Command Senior Enlisted Leader of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson. Chief, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me today, Doug. I'm happy to be on the air with you.
Yeah, wonderful to hear your voice. It's been quite a while, and there's a few things we want to talk about. Obviously, we got the holiday season rolling in, and, good news. We've got the 148th Fighter Wing from right up there in Duluth, your neck of the woods, recently returned. Tell us a little bit about what they were doing and when they got home.
Well, I think they've all started, they've all been back to work now, so they've been home probably about 30 days. They came in, did their downtime. You know, they were there really as just a deterrence over in the PACOM area. They were able to really enjoy Kadena Air Force Base at its best during the prime season. You know, these folks don't get to do some of the deep sea fishing and all the fun extra things they got to do. They worked hard as well, but then they got to do some really fun things like scuba diving and fishing. And when we visited them, it was good to see them. But I know they're all very happy to be back for hunting season because, you know, a lot of these northern boys like to hunt. And gals.
Of course.
So they're back in time to do their hunting and spend time with their families before the holidays.
Well, I'm glad that you clarified that it wasn't all fun and games, that they actually had a job
Nope.
to do. But one of the benefits Yeah. about a mission like that is there are some opportunities to do some, off-site or morale-type activities.
Yeah, and see a part of the country that they've never seen before.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
One of the benefits of being in the military, so the 148th, obviously about 30 days now back home, and we're planning on another mm-hmm. big redeployment, a welcome home ceremony for our 34th Infantry Division, the Red Bulls. Tell us a little bit about that.
I know. Can you believe they're coming home?
Yeah.
Super excited to see and hear that they, you know, they're planning all their redeployment stuff and coming in to Fort Cavazos and doing what they've got to do. This is going to be a really good thing. We're hoping to have everybody home in time for the Christmas holiday. Of course, we know you can't guarantee everything, but they're starting to make those plans in place, and we've got everything ready to support them. And we're just really happy that everyone's coming back good, happy and healthy, and ready to face the holidays with their family and hear all the good stories of what they were up to when they were there.
It must be one of the nicest things or greatest feelings for you is that, when you're there and these troops are leaving, but to be able to be there when they come home.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping, like last time the big group came through, when the RSG came home, I was able to go down to Fort Cavazos and welcome them. And that's, I think we're planning to do something similar to that this time. When the main body comes back, we can be there to greet them and help them get their bags off the trucks and get settled for the night. And boy, you can just see the relief on all their faces when they get off that airplane that they're finally home and it's a little cooler than what they're used to. So yeah, they'll be happy to be back. And I'm sure they will all be very excited to see snow on the ground when they get home.
You know, Chief, one of the things that we do have to talk about is, you know, everybody's excited to get back home, but, you know, being away for a period of time often can cause some conflict back home and have an impact on people when they come home. And here we are heading into this holiday season. So what kind of messaging do you have for our families, for our service members as they return from deployment and reacclimate here back in the States?
Hey, patience with each other. You know, just learn to love each other where you're at and to give each other the space that you need and understand that while you were gone, things changed at home a little bit and everything's still under control, but give each other grace and just enjoy the time that you have together and use the resources that we have for you. That's why we have the family academies. That's why we have these yellow ribbon events post the deployment, is to give those resources and give the soldiers and their families time to talk about what that feels like. And so don't be afraid to reach out, ask for help. Nobody's above that. And so hopefully they will all come home happy and healthy, and then we can help them make those adjustments so that things keep moving smoothly.
What I'm hearing you say, Chief, is don't just check the box. If you need help, you need to ask.
Correct.
Don't be in such a hurry to get home that you leave a resource behind.
Yeah, exactly. And we have plenty of them. And
awesome.
If you don't want to utilize the ones we have in the state, get with Military OneSource, and they've got plenty of resources.
Awesome.
And everything is confidential.
Thank you so much, Chief. I hope you have a great rest of the day. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
All right. That's the Command Senior Enlisted Leader of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson. Before we close out today's show, I'd like to say thanks for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. We strive to bring you quality content each week and look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us to send us your thoughts. Join us next week when we get an update from the Armed Forces Services Center at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport, and we'll check in with a Tribal Veteran Service Officer. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week. You find a way to thank and honor those who have and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.